Greetings, everybody. This is Some Podcast with your host, myself, Zach Nations. I've got some interesting, either over the weekend or next week, we'll see. I've got it, got things lining up, so we'll see how we come about with a guest on the show. Today I want to talk about Detective Pikachu. I saw that over the weekend. Talk about some new Game of Thrones episode, The Bells. And anything else I can think of. I'll do a movie I haven't seen yet review. I'll do that before Detective Pikachu. So that Game of Thrones, what a show. Getting a lot of hate these days for the liberties it's taking with each character and kind of going off out of character and off their arc to kind of tie up all the loose ends real quick and kind of get to the meat of the finale. And they're pretty much trying to do a lot with a little. Do a book's worth of information in 6 episodes, which was a tall task. I mean, even having 8 episodes last season 2 years ago. Yeah, that was, they had a heat coming from that, so this was expected. You had to kind of expect it to feel rushed, and it is definitely rushing. With that being said, the Bells, the episode was pretty good. I mean, you get the Clegane Bowl, which was as advertised. I mean, I think they did that to make up for Daenerys going crazy, cray cray, and Jaime and Cersei dying abruptly by the hands of fate and not necessarily by anyone's direct involvement, I guess. I mean, indirectly, it was Daenerys making the Red Keep fall on her. But it just seemed real forced and kind of silly. And just like, you know, it took all the emotion out of it. Jaime it seemed like he pretty much died fighting Euron. And he took several stabs to his sides, and that's not a good place to be stabbed. I mean, you can't really, there wasn't much you could do, and he wound up killing Euron, which was bittersweet. But I mean, they fulfilled what they wanted, and watching it, I enjoyed the death of Euron, because he was getting annoying. He was funny at first, and then he killed some dragons, and he got annoying. That was the story of Euron. That was his little arc. I mean, he still had some funny things and but people were getting tired of him already on the show and fans. And he still had some pretty funny things in his dying words, his dying last words. I'm the man who killed Jamie Lannister, even though he wound up not being the man dying to the sword of Jamie Lannister. But it was funny, the second of the Kingslayer talking. He's just a good shit talker. And so, other than that, Varys dying, that was just her talking about how her as in Dany, after killing Varys, and even though they alluded to him trying to poison her, and he had a nice little goodbye to Tyrion. That was pretty one of the finer moments of the episode. You know, they became good pals. So letting them have parting words was a good touch. But I didn't see. I mean, the poison was really nuanced to where nobody noticed. I mean, a lot of keen viewers did, and it went right past my head. You know, they were talking about Dany not eating and, you know, wallowing in the grief of her whatever, Meandra, whatever role she provided, I forget. But, yeah, that was kind of various. I was kind of hoping he was going to be a Targaryen with dragon blood or something. That would have been interesting. Of course, that's, you know, that was fan fiction type of wonder, of hope. Other than that, it was weird that Dany, I mean, it was rushed in a sense that the war was pretty much Dany taking care of business when, I mean, the thing I had against her wrecking crew against Euron's battle fleet, the ships, was she was aiming to do that after Rhaegal died, got shot up, and then she veered off, which it showed that, you know, she was doing whatever she was aiming to do, she was going to be able to complete it from what we saw in this episode. Like, she just took care of all the ships. I mean, I get that she was more motivated in the episode now than she was last episode because of what she had lost. But what also irked me was how she was whining to Tyrion about losing all of the people that betrayed her and all that. Which she didn't have to kill them. I mean, that's, there was no need for it, and it was just kind of laziness in the writing to change her into the Mad Queen. I mean, you know, of course this time Varys was poisoning her, but I don't know. Yeah, I'll talk myself into a corner of that one. But anyways, she took care. She lit up the whole army and everything, and then she had the battle won. And then she decided to keep killing everyone. That was definitely a weird change of her character. She wasn't really, I mean, it kind of falls in line with how she killed all the Dothraki widows, and how they were slave to themselves and they weren't willing to uprise and revolt against the way, their way of life. So she felt the need to burn them, and it seemed like this was her way of doing that with the King's Landing villagers. They weren't willing to revolt, so they deserved to die. She has a interesting logic. But other than all that, we'll see what happens in this final episode. Because Arya seems pissed. And we're really only down to about a handful of people left. This last episode pretty much took care of all the people that have been lucky to live this long through the long night and just any other circumstance they find themselves in. They keep squirming away. So that was kind of was very fulfilling. But it's just kind of, saving them for these moments felt really cheap, because, they could have died in an interesting or, heroic or more grandois ways. And then they just, where they were being saved for, like, how the light god, saved all the people he did, he, she, whatever denomination they are. But they were brought back to life, like Jon Snow was brought back to life for a reason, and it seemed like that's kind of what they were playing off of, and it didn't hit the mark. But anyways, last episode, last season, last everything is coming up. So, of course I'm going to watch. Of course everyone in this neck of the woods is going to watch. So there you have it. On to my review of Aladdin. Haven't seen it yet. Review. Should be coming out soon. Coming out in either this week or a couple weeks. But I think A+. That's right. As good as a cartoon in the 90s. Still good. I mean, less so without Robin Williams. Maybe I'll downgrade it to an A just for that. I mean, Will Smith is great. Really like his movies. He's starting to become too big for himself. One thing I thought, one of the ideas I had popping through my head would be him being Hitch as the genie. Because that's kind of what this movie seems like. Just a blue Hitch, but blue. So, I mean, I did enjoy in the trailer him blowing a kiss. What is it? He was arguing with Aladdin to go talk to her, and Aladdin was resisting, and he just did his genie magic and blew him a kiss over to him, to Jasmine. That was funny. Ha ha ha. And so, with that's why A+. A plus, right, borderline. I also really like the color scheme. They're going with the animation color scheme, like the what do you call it? The Temple of the Forbidden Eye or whatever it is, the Temple of Doom, the buried treasure, that area is blue. It's very reminiscent of the movie. It held a very blue look throughout the movie, which I find that alluring. And they did a good job releasing trailers quickly to dispel the whole bad CGI of the first teaser. That looked terrible and had me worried. But one thing I'm hoping is with the joke about making a prince, it sets up a perfect opportunity to do a Fresh Prince little meta joke. So I hope they go for it and they don't back down and get nervous. I mean, it'd be pretty funny. I'd be cracking up. Anyways, so I'll probably go see it when it hits theaters. There's a lot of movies coming out, so I'll be doing a lot of reviews each week, and hopefully I'll be able to see them all. I'm gonna try to pace them properly, because there's one week where like three movies I want to see will be out at the same time. Dark Phoenix, it will be out March 31st, or no, June 7th. I'll have to recheck. I looked at the list today. I should have wrote it down or something. Yeah, rookie mistake. Anyways, let's move it on to Detective Pikachu. This would be, if I had time and had better preparation, I'd have some sort of theme song. Well, not theme, maybe a theme song, but the music from Pokemon. I like that. That's one of my favorite music themes. Gotta catch them all. I could sing it. I'm not gonna sing it. Let's start with the beginning. I was kind of worried going in, because I was aware, you know, going into a movie like this, you're aware that this is a kid's movie, a kid's franchise. And I was expecting mostly watered down kind of stuff. Not necessarily major adult humor, even though it was Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu. But I was also expecting nostalgia, which it definitely landed with. What got me kind of excited and eased my worries was it started out, the music was really hitting it. The sound was really good. The music was definitely a movie score. It was worthy of being in theaters, you know. And what kind of got me excited is they started out this movie as was it 20 years after Pokemon, the first movie, the animation, which I did see when I was like 13 in theaters, went with a group of buddies, and I enjoyed that. And so I was hoping it would be on par with that type of writing and the kind of thought-provoking kind of material that it used. And so starting out the movie, they started this movie out similar to the way that movie started out with spoilers, everyone. Well, this isn't really a spoiler, but Mewtwo, they started out with the Mewtwo breaking loose from its entrapment in a chamber, kind of like how in the first movie he was being held prisoner in a way. And so that one, seeing that got me pretty brought my hopes up, and it was really interesting in the way they did it, and it was very nice to see. Like it was visually pleasing, which was awesome. It was a good way to set the tone of the movie, and then from then on, then it kind of got kid friendly, like more kids, can't think of how to describe it, but it was more, it was the main character, Tim something. Look it up real quick. Yep. It's great podcasting, isn't it? Anyways, it was him and his friend who you would recognize from Deadpool. It was, can't remember his name either. Bohinder? I think that's something like that. Anyways, Tim Goodman. Okay, there we go. They're out in the field, and I was kind of disappointed because backtrack. They did a good job setting this scene up with the Pokemons being interwoven into the setting, into the world. Like there, it showed that Pokemon coexisted, and that it was a world of the games and the media that Pokemon are presented in. And it started out with Spearows and Pidgeots flying in their own little flocks, and other Pokemon running around. I can't think off the top of my head other Pokemon, but it was very memorable seeing the opening with the Pokemon flying around free. And so, and with Tim and his friend, they banter about Tim not having a Pokemon, which was a very big plot device in the movie. And so he tells him that he wants him to catch a Cubone, because Cubone's also lonely, and Tim, being lonely, refuses, as you would. But he goes along with it. I guess he never tried catching Pokemon or anything. He gave it up when he grew up, for reasons they explain in the movie. Pretty much, he loses a mother, and his dad marries his job, and it's all really, it's tough on Tim. And so But he does try. He attempts to catch a Cubone. And the Cubone, I thought, would be a little bigger. I thought they were about, like, 4 feet high. But this thing was like a little field mouse, which kind of makes sense. But it kind of, I was a little worried from that, that Pokemon would be misrepresented in their sizes. But it, this was just the one case that I had this little reservation. But it was funny that, because he didn't catch them. Spoiler alert, he didn't catch the Pokemon. And then Cubone broke free of the Pokeball and started chasing him. And so that was another good tone setting. And so I'm not going to go into every scene of the movie, but that's pretty much how it all set up to tell the story. And then Tim finds out that his dad was killed in a fire. So he sets off into this other area, this other city. Like, I guess Tim was living in like a small town. So he goes into the big city. I don't remember the names of any of these cities, unfortunately, but they weren't from the different Pokemon that I've watched and that I know of, like Pallet Town and the other one. The bigger one, the red and blue one. That's another thing I should probably bring up, is this was red and blue, the first generation, but it was also second generation mixed in, and a couple of other later generations. So there's a lot of Pokemon that kind of I'm not familiar with, which was, it didn't take away from the movie, but it probably would have helped if I was familiar with them. But it was definitely a lot more first generation, which was really good, because this is a movie for new Pokemon catcher people, Pokemon, you know, children of now watching it, but also us older children who watched it when we were younger. And I only ever cared about the first generation, but then I grew up and I grew out of Pokemon, so that's probably why. But anyways, so he goes there and everyone's partnered with a Pokemon, kind of like in Zelda, where all the Kuriko, I don't know how to pronounce, they all have a fairy, so it's kind of one of those kind of tropes. And the police chief, who I really like, Ken Watanabe, he's pretty funny, and he has, his Pokemon's funny. Ha ha ha. So without going too deep into it, Ken Watanabe, surprisingly, is in this movie. Like, I wouldn't think of him being in it, but also Bill Nighy's in it, and, Nighy plays an important part, and they both, you know, come in fully committed, and there's no phoning in, which was great. It really helped with the movie. But anyways, Tim goes back to his dad's apartment. And that's shot really well, the scene they show in the trailer, but just leading into it, he gets harassed by a up-and-coming intern reporter about how suspicious the death is and whatnot. And just the lighting was really great, how it was shadowed, but big bright blue and bright pinks. Lights shining from the neons outside but like lighting up the background, that was great, and it really had that noir look to it, and again setting the tone, it was really, it was awesome. And so leading up to the dad, Harry Goodman, the dad's apartment, they have an encounter he has an encounter with Pikachu, who's also there looking for the dad, or well, for clues, where here Tim isn't really looking for clues, he's just gathering things and kind of making sure everything was tidied up, I guess, I don't know, picking up after his messy dad so that nobody comes through and is embarrasses the family's name. What I felt after the introduction of Pikachu, which Ryan Reynolds really pretty much nailed, because he's very much, they wrote him for Ryan Reynolds, in a sense that he's just quippy, and from the moment he's introduced and tagging along every scene with Tim, it seemed to me he just is leaving his own little commentary. I mean, he does little snippets and jokes at Tim. Tim's the only one who can hear him, and he ignores him most of the time, and nobody else can hear him, so it's basically Pikachu talking to himself, which is kind of like what I'm doing right now. Tim, can you hear me? No. Are you Tim? No, I'm just kidding. I was trying to do a joke like a lot of people that do podcasts do. Anyways, moving on. It was kind of just Ryan Reynolds yabbering on. It didn't really get old, because Tim did interact with him pretty often, so it wasn't like he was just Ryan Reynolds talking to himself, and he was just a part of the scenery. A lot of it was jokes, but a lot of it was pretty informative, and it kept the story going. And he was the detective. He was Harry's Pokemon, so Harry used him as a partner in detective work. And so anyways, the story goes, they are introduced to this new agent, like a drug agent, not agent like person, but agent like a substance, that's like a drug that turns Pokemon wild, which pretty much meant rabid. It didn't turn them wild, because most Pokemon aren't aggressive, but every Pokemon that interacted with this agent became aggressive. So they kind of had their own interpretation of wild, which didn't really take away from anything. You'd really have to be really nitpicky to have a problem with it. But that was used. They had an underground Pokemon fighting, which was actual battle. Like it was a no trainer battle. It was like dog fighting, basically. And they mentioned it in the movie. Which that was very entertaining, because they throw Pikachu into the mix with some funny results. You see most of it in the trailer, but a lot of it, there was more to it. And throughout the movie, the music and the score was really on. Pikachu sings the theme song of the TV show at one point, which is it's a very moving moment. It comes at a part of the story, it comes at the downbeat of the story, and he's crying. So I mean, it's more of a something that you have to see when watching the movie, but it's a comical moment also, of course, with Ryan Reynolds. But the way the Pokemon are used and the visual effects on them are outstanding, and that's funny because they use Pokemon. It's kind of a Flintstone situation where they have a Squirtle. This moment, I like Squirtle is my favorite personally. They use him as a little water spout. Well, not necessarily a water spout, but he just walks around and there's a janitor, and he spits out water and the janitor mops up. You know, he uses it to wet his mop. So that was pretty funny, and I enjoyed the way they used Squirtle in that kind of joke. But that's how they use a lot of those Pokemon. At one point, there's a Machamp directing traffic around a Snorlax who is asleep in the middle of the road. So, sorry if I'm spoiling these jokes. There's a lot more jokes in the movie, so it's definitely worth a watch. And if I were to give it a grade, the ending was top notch. It definitely didn't telegraph it, but it was, you know, as an adult, you'll definitely pick up on things. But as a kid, kids will definitely eat it up, and unless they're really intuitive, they won't see it coming. I definitely throw some curveballs at you. And I will say, of the scariest moments, because there are a couple of moments they try to jump scare you, but the scariest, I think, was unintentional. They have a Ditto playing part of the bad guy Pokemon helper. That's probably giving away too much, but it's pretty freaky. I just wanted to bring it up because when Ditto changes, it'll change into a people, and when it does, the eyes stay the same, and that is the creepiest thing that I've probably ever seen. And at one moment, it takes on the form of a girl, and she smiles, and that is freaky. That's one of those kind of copypasta visuals that will probably keep you up at night. But anyways, aside from all that, I'd definitely give this movie, I'd give it a flat A. It's not necessarily A plus, because I feel A plus would be like slotted into my top 10 favorites. It's not up that quality. It's not A minus. I'd probably say it would be like top 30. So yeah, maybe an A minus. Only on the scale, the grading scale of movies, I hold a curve, the bell curve, on my grading system. So it gets weighted down for not being like amazing. It wasn't hilarious. It wasn't nonstop laughs. It was definitely visually thrilling. All the Pokemon in the real world really meshed well. Well, there's another, the other character I like would be Psyduck. They portrayed him cleverly. He definitely steals the show in a lot of the parts. Pikachu calls to that a lot. He doesn't necessarily say it because that'd be breaking the fourth wall, and that's not his character, but Psyduck is pretty good. Of course, Psyduck is a pretty comedic, it's comic relief type of Pokemon, so. Anyways, that's my review. A-, Pokemon, Detective Pikachu, Detective Pokemon. You should definitely check it out. I tried a little more on describing things. The last review I did, I just kind of blurted everything out. So I hope this goes well. I hope this is being taken well from you, the listener. Another thing I wanted to bring up, I don't think I'm going to talk about it now, but I watched the Sisters Brothers recently, and that was really weird. That one, I didn't even finish it, so it's good. It gets about a D, only because I have to rewatch it, and I might give it an F, but I'll review that one of these days. But it was really weird. You should probably check it out just to reassure me that I'm not crazy. That it's just a weird movie. I couldn't. This is one thing. This is like a basically my joke I made for the movie. I'm a little proud of it, but I couldn't tell if Joaquin Phoenix, if it was a straight movie with John C. Reilly in it, or if it was it was supposed to be a comedy with Joaquin Phoenix in it, because they both play it straight, but they're also goofy. It's weird. It's really weird. So watch it with that in mind. There you go. Anyways, this is getting pretty lengthy. I hope you followed along. Let's see, next week I'll talk about other things. I don't know. Not really going to tease anything at this moment. Hopefully I'll have a guest. And if I do, you'll know, because I'll be on the title. And it'll be exciting. Anyways, check out my Twitter. Leave me a comment or a direct message or something. You can check out my Facebook. Check out my celebrity page, not my Facebook page. Don't try to add me. I don't go on Facebook much anymore, but I'll go on that if people bug me. If you annoy me enough on it, I'll probably check it out. My Twitter, my Facebook. So you can send me an email. I have my email posted. You can check out my Patreon. Read it. It's really outdated. I need to update it. You can leave money there, though, if you want. If you want it to be updated quicker, it's the best way to do it. And rate me. You can rate me, follow me, subscribe, like. All those things that everyone says, do them, and you won't be disappointed. Thank you, and have a good day.